Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
You know it, man. I don't know. No accent. Wasn't an accent.
No accent this week.
But California?
Yeah.
You know it, dude.
You got it, dude.
You know it, dude. It's like, yeah, it's a Olsen twin impression.
Yes.
The twist.
Very nice.
Thanks, dude.
Oh, man. It's been a long week. I feel like we're recording this one a little bit late this week. Still coming out on Monday here, but there's been a lot over this last week.
Mr. International.
Mr. Worldwide, actually.
Mr. Worldwide. you drove to Montreal, yeah?
Yes, I drove to Montreal, so now I'm
Mr. Worldwide.
Mr. Worldwide, yeah.
Yeah, man, you've had numerous 4-hour plus car rides this year.
Yeah.
Or just this hockey season so
yes.
far.
And then next month we have New Jersey and Long Island. So that's not quite
Long Island.
Not quite 4+, but pretty close. Probably like 3 to 3.5, depending on how fast I decide to drive that trip.
Yeah. Knock on wood, you don't hit any traffic.
Yeah, right. New York, I don't think that's possible to not hit any traffic.
Exactly.
But yeah, man, it's been good. We obviously didn't get the win in Montreal, but man, it was a great game. I don't know if you were able to watch
great
that game.
Rivalry feels a little back. I did have it on at the bar. It was the NHL Network.
Yeah.
Rivalry felt back. Obviously hate to not get 2 points. Happy we did get a point there. That was a good comeback. It was a pretty a bummer that we let up those 2 goals, but I don't know.
I have a lot.
That's a tough arena. And
I have a lot you're to say about that game. So before we get into that, I do want to talk about the game that happened right before. So Thursday night, we went to the Islanders-Bruins game at the Garden.
Yeah,
military appreciation night, so that was super fun. It's always a good time every year to kind of see what they do for the veterans and all that, and it's love to see it, and they do a good job with it and honoring a lot of people and, you know, giving a lot of tickets, and it's definitely a great time. That one, you know, obviously Hockey Fights Cancer, those are the great nights that you go and you kind of see all of the hard work that they put into again honoring either vets or people who have survived cancer and things like that. So they're always fun to go to those theme nights, but definitely want to shout out Charlie Coyle, first career hat trick. Nice to do it at home. Obviously get the win in that game, so that was the cherry on top of it, but it was cool to see him get
the local kid.
Yeah, exactly.
The local kid doing it at home.
I mean,
it's awesome.
It's a little surprising. I mean, I don't know. He's not known to be like this crazy goal scorer or anything, but he's been in the league for a while, so it's a little surprising that it's his first. But it's cool. I'm sure that there's no other way you could dream it up for a guy like him of being from here to get it at home and for the team that you grew up a fan of. So I'm sure he's had a bunch of 2-goal games in his career, or a few at least, and it was probably pretty cool to get that milestone out of the way.
It's awesome to witness. Glad you got to see the hats rain. You throw a hat?
I can't.
You ever throw them from the balcony anymore?
I can't reach. There's no way. There's no.
When's the last time you threw a hat from the balcony?
Man.
Or have you ever?
It's been a long time. And it was probably one time. When's the last time you threw a hat?
You still see a lot of hats go with you.
I know. A few rows off the ice in L.A. a couple years back here. Jake DeBrus scores a nice hat trick. I think we won that game, 8-1 or something like that. And
at least the touchdown. I know that. Yeah.
And, I mean, you had to throw the hat. You had to. You can't be that close and not throw the hat.
I did. I liked that hat a lot, but it was worth it.
So, I mean, not to get too far into that game or anything, but that was fun. It was cool to get that. And then obviously it was leaving the next day to go up to Montreal for the weekend. to sort of spend some time up there and do some touristy things and also go to the game. And yeah, I mean, when you go up there, you gotta have some poutine.
What'd you do?
You gotta do some poutine.
Yeah, of course. You had some poutine. Yeah.
Did a lot of walking around, just kind of sightseeing a bunch of stuff, and
okay.
And went to a couple cool different restaurants. What?
Is it snowy up there?
Not much snow. There was like a very small amount, but it was pretty much the same temperature as here. It was around 30 to 40, somewhere in there. So not too bad if you're really walking
pond
around.
Hockey going or anything or no?
Not yet. I don't think everything's. I don't think it's frozen enough yet. I mean, we're still a little bit early here. It's just starting to really get cold, and you could walk the city in a hoodie or like a light jacket or whatever. It was pretty nice. But at nighttime, it got kind of cold. But I mean, that's kind of that was the beauty of going up there in November, where it wasn't going to be 5 degrees, 10 degrees, or, you know, or zero. So it's nice to get up there now and not go up there. I think we play them again maybe in February or something like that. So it'll probably be pretty miserable up there at that time.
You gonna go?
I mean, we'll see. It's honestly, I love it's, it a 50, there, it's a 50-50 really shot.
I love it when it's that place is totally frozen over, but people are still just like outside, like the streets are still bustling, and you got pond hockey everywhere. And
yeah, and that's the cool thing about too, is like there's a lot of underground system as well, so that you don't have to necessarily go outdoors everywhere. I remember a couple years back, we stayed at a hotel where there was like a tunnel to get from the hotel to the Bell Center, all underground. So you never had to go outside at all. And it was cold then. So it was great. Didn't stay there this time, but either way.
Didn't need to. Were you still close to the stadium?
Yeah, within walking distance, like less than a half a mile. Nice. So definitely within walking distance. So
nice.
But yeah, so went up there with my brother, with our friend Brian, that we've been up a couple times. My brother had never been up there, so it was cool for him to sort of get that experience. And he's been to Canada, but it was like when we were a lot younger and you didn't even need a passport. So going up there, it was kind of like a different world. I mean, it is a different world for somebody who's never been, but you know, sometimes there's a bunch of stuff that's in French, and mostly everybody up there speaks English as well, because it's pretty close to America and all of that. So
like 30 miles over the border.
Yeah, it's not super far. But it was cool. It was definitely cool to get the experience up there with someone who's never been, because I've been a few or a handful of times now, and it's always fun to go back up there. But the first time was super fun too, because I didn't know what to expect either. All I know is I want to have poutine and I want to go to the Bruins and the Montreal Canadiens game. So it was funny because he was the only one that really, he was the one that got heckled the most out of all, you know, the three of us.
I was going to ask how the crowd interactions were.
They were actually pretty good. You know, it wasn't too bad. And the people that were kind of giving us a hard time were pretty nice about it. And they were all, you know, we were all joking back and forth and whatever. We actually went to go take a photo in front of a light up Montreal Canadiens logo. And this guy walked up with his two kids and he was like, "Do you want me to take a picture for you guys?" And then he was like, "Would you mind taking one for us?" And they were all Canadiens fans. And, you know, it's cool that it doesn't always have to be like an angry interaction between it's a big rivalry, of course. So you never know what you're going to expect. But then, you know, my brother was wearing the last year's reverse retro, the Pooh Bear jersey, if you will.
Uh-huh.
And this guy just kept coming up to him and going, "Winnie the Pooh, Winnie the Pooh." And then he was like, he would go warm up to other people and he'd be like, come here, look at it. It's Winnie the Pooh. And he like followed us through the concourse section, like for a good amount of time, just saying that over and over again. And, I don't know if he was drunk. I don't know if he was just like being serious or not, but it was pretty funny.
That was clearly mostly for him, and I respect it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty funny.
But he really did think that it was like a major diss to us that, you know, Winnie the Pooh is like a... I mean, it is what it is. That we literally call it the Pooh Bear jersey, right? So, I mean, what do you expect?
He got you guys pretty good there.
It was just funny. But yeah, so the game, obviously, like I said, we didn't get the win there, but really cool to score right away off the rip. Everyone was super hyped. There was a ton of Bruins fans in the arena. You could even hear like Canadians fans as we're walking around being like, so many Bruins fans. I can't believe how many Bruins fans are here tonight and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, that's what do you expect on a Saturday, like within driving distance of Boston? We travel well all over the country, but if you can drive to the place, you better expect there to be a lot of fans, especially on a weekend.
Also, centennial year, and you guys are kind of relevant again.
It's kind of worth
the trek. You guys have been dog shit for a while.
Well, and that's what I'm thinking. Like the next couple of years here, they could start getting pretty good. We could be pretty good still. And I think that this is just going to heat up the rivalry more and more, and it's going to be even more fun to go up there.
I haven't been lacking anything in the NHL for the last years without a competitive Montreal squad, but hockey's more fun with Montreal good.
I would agree. Yeah, there's a couple teams that I feel that way, like Detroit.
This is our ultimate rivalry.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, yeah, anyone in the Big Six being good, I think, is important.
Yeah.
You know, like look at the Blackhawks, like because of this Bedard thing, like they're still the talk of the town and like they're dog shit. I honestly think Bedard's getting a little too bodied here. Is he the clear number one overall pick in terms of rookie statistics this year? No, not yet.
Well, he is coming.
But he's also had a few
right
goals
now.
Called back.
Yeah.
Oh, big time. And you see the freakness too. That like no angle roofing he put on the goalie the other day when he just stole the puck in their zone.
Yeah.
Insanity. Just absolute filth. I think he's a little too harsh under the microscope. Pretty happy with our rookies, so I'm not going to put any of them in front of him. But
right,
you know, it's a good class coming in. But you know, my point being, you know, the original six teams are always going to be a topic of discussion, and there really has not been shit to say about the Montreal Canadiens for over 5 years. It feels like.
Yeah, I mean they made the finals in the bubble, and that was kind of a fluke, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was cool, I guess, because like they shouldn't have been there, but the bubble allowed them to be there,
right?
Like they wouldn't have been, they probably wouldn't have made the actual playoffs.
Yeah, it was just so strange that if you had asked me, when's the last time the Canadians made the Stanley Cup Finals? I never would have said the bubble year. You know what I mean? Like obviously that is when it happened, but.
I'm not one of those guys who puts the asterisks on any of these.
No.
I think the more that comes out about it, like there's some weird bubble stuff with the NBA coming out. But like most guys just say it's like the hardest thing they've ever done. It's like, of course it was. It's like you went to war.
Yeah.
Nothing like that at the same time. But like these guys are millionaires used to just being like able to do whatever they want and showing up for like a couple of team requirements. And now they're spending every waking hour with their teammates. It's just like it's a much different thing.
I think that I'm with you, man.
And they got roommates and shit, like
yeah,
like it was obviously it's like, you know, war's an exaggerated take, but like for these guys that was so difficult and different.
Well,
you had to
different.
Buy into such
it's
a program. You were stuck there. It was like kind of desolate.
Yeah, be away from your family.
No ins, no out. Can't see your family. Yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I never would have said that was the last time they made the finals because they shouldn't have been there that year. They obviously made it that far. They had a good team and whatnot, but it just was such a strange thing for them to have made the finals. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm just trying to think of what else happened during that game. Oh, so there was this, we had three kids sitting next to us, right? And they were all college kids, 20 years old, 19 years old, another kid, 19 years old, one not drinking at all. The other two, very much drinking. And I don't know if they're listening to this episode because we did talk about the podcast a little bit. So if you are, this, you know. This will be pretty funny, but the kid sitting directly next to me was extremely banged up. Like in the first two periods, he was trying to survive, dude. He was just like, he was just trying to survive.
Like he went too hard before.
Yep. And then And then he got up in the second in the second period or close to the end or whatever, got some French fries and got a water, and he was back in the game, baby.
Soak it up.
So he
hydrate.
He soaked it up
out there.
He hydrated. He immediately then we're down. We get to the point, I think there's about 9 minutes left in the third period, and we're down by one goal. And he calls his brother on the phone and he says, "I need you to put in a bet for me. I need you to put in Bruins are gonna win this game. Put $250 on it, and then we tie it up." Right after he gets off the phone, right? His brother sends him a screenshot that he put the bet in. We tie it up right then. So we're all hyped. This kid's like, "I'm about to win $1,000 if we win this game." And oh, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this. They are all Bruins fans, these three.
Yeah, I'm getting that now. I can't imagine this Canadians guy.
Right.
You're just a degenerate gambler if you're up a goal. Even I would not be caught dead doing such a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
So he puts the thing in. So we're all hyped. This kid's about to win $1,000 if they hit whatever. So we're like, we're going to overtime. We feel confident because we are the better team. Of course, we got Swayman in net, who's been a stud. And obviously, we don't win the game. And he's bummed out. And then they're driving back. They drove up in the morning. They're driving back the same day. They're going back to Vermont or something.
Oh, is that guy? That's why one guy's not drinking.
Right. So they're going to Vermont.
Gotta get by Border Patrol.
Well, yeah, exactly. So we were talking about that too. I was like, so what happens there? You know, it doesn't. They can't say anything because one guy's completely sober. The other two are. It's legal in Canada at 18. They'll probably be passed out in the back anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it was fun. It was super funny, and we had a good time with those guys too. So, if you are
sorry about that guy's 250,
shout out to you. Sorry for your 250. Oh, by the way, he was also down. He was down 1,000 on the day. So he was down 1,250. No, he was down 750, and then he put down another 250 that he lost to. So,
and he was going to win a grand. So he was going to break even.
He was, yeah.
He needed another break even. Damn.
Can you imagine as a college kid like losing $1,000 in a day? Like,
no,
at that age, I don't think I could. I would be miserable.
No, I don't do it. I don't do well if that ever happens now.
Yeah, right.
It's pretty stressful. I don't like thousands coming or going.
No,
coming's great, but that doesn't happen that much either.
Please.
Not enough. Yeah.
So yeah, no, that was the bummer.
Lately, anyway,
when we tied it up, we were all crazy. It was awesome. I mean, of course, we wanted the Bruins to win no matter what, but it just put that little extra on it for this kid. It was like, let's see what happens. Let's get the win, and then see if they end up getting a hotel anyway and just partying the night away.
Yeah, no way they drive home. If they win that game.
Yeah,
he blows that 1,000 like it wasn't to fill the hole of the 1,000 he'd already lost.
Exactly.
So if they won that bet, that dude was going out and spending the whole G, maybe even more. It was still going to be a $3,000 loss day.
Yeah.
So maybe it's good that he only lost 250.
Probably.
Oh man.
But yeah, no. And then we got out of there pretty quick. Not a lot of heckling, not a lot of struggle. There was a lot of people going back and forth in the hallway trying to get out of there. And there was just a lot more of Bruins fans being like, "We're still in first place. You guys are still second to last in the East. Like, I don't know what you guys have to say about it." But of course, I mean, they have to be like hype. They just beat the Bruins, especially the team who's in first. And the rivalry is there. It's like, I don't fault them for being happy about that win, you know?
Hell no. What are they going to say when they win? "But we still have a ways to go." Like, of course not.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you enjoy it.
Yeah. They're hyped.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a fun trip. Ate a lot of poutine and Probably shouldn't have done that, but did it anyway.
Hell yeah, dude. Winter body time, dude. Pack those pounds on. Stay warm.
Oh. Couple games coming up this week. We got Montreal again this Saturday at home this time. So hopefully we can get some revenge on that one.
We'll see. We'll see how they travel this year.
Yeah. On a Saturday, I would imagine probably pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Celtics tonight took the win. We got a couple sick games win. This yep. week, too. And I think I'm going to end up going to the Sixers game on Wednesday.
Nice. Also had some pretty shit losses.
Yes, that's true.
This past week, we lost to... Minnesota, then we lost to Philly.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
Two winnable games.
I'm a little concerned, yeah. I'm a little concerned about the Celtics just in terms of coaching. I'm out on Joe. I'm going to root for him to do the best job for this team, but I don't think he's the man for the job.
You know what's funny is
I worry about this roster under him.
I sent you that video of him talking back to the media during the post-game press conference. And before, I just sent you the video, right? And you said, I think I'm out on Joe. And I said that I'm the same exact. Like, that kind of solidified it for me.
Yeah, that was gross. And I was kind of leaning that way just from his coaching. And if he's going to be insecure about it, it's like, well, let's look at your end of game decisions. You're not calling timeouts even when you have the opportunity to win the game and it's a tie, let alone when you're trailing and right. You have, like, if you're down one, you're not calling the timeout. If you're tied, you're not calling the timeout. Call both of those timeouts.
You don't get to keep them and bring them to the next
draw
game.
Draw something up. Yeah. And if you can't draw something up, have someone else do it. And it's just like, I trust our guys. It's like, our guys would love a second to just think and like breathe. And,
yeah, exactly.
Have a play or something like this. It's silly. I don't think it's I trust our guys. I think it's I have no ideas. And well, there's Al Horford could probably draw up a play. You know who could draw up a play? Sam Cassell. You know who I'd like to be the head coach? Sam Cassell.
I just keep thinking it's like, okay, at the very worst, you don't do anything and the guys get a breather. Like, yes, the other team also gets a breather, but like, we don't care about that. Like, we just care about being able to think about what's the next plan of action here, whether we have a play set or not. It's like, okay, you know, get some water, take a breath, whatever it may be. It can't hurt us to do that. It's not gonna like cool us down enough to make it a problem, right? I mean, that's the thing that bothers me. Again, it's like you can't bring it to the next game. That's not how this works. So like, why wouldn't you at least take it? Especially when everybody's been giving him such a hard time about not taking it for so long. I don't know if he's being like defiant now and just not doing it intentionally, but I just have no idea.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I don't know, man. There's something that seems weak, just in terms of how he carries himself and how he carries his team. And I think the players maybe do like him, but like, I don't think he yells at anyone. Like he's your buddy.
Yeah.
And it's a discussion about what you should do. I don't like that. I don't like that for this team. I don't care how many times we've been knocking on the door. We haven't gotten over the hump. I don't really need you to like your coach.
That's not the
point. I need you to respect it.
Yeah.
Like, and they like him. I don't know that they respect him. You know, like, I think they do as like a friend. I don't know. I'm sounding the alarm now, and everyone can tell me to shut up if we win with them. And that's all great and dandy. But
look,
challenge absolutely any of you to tell me why this team would be worse off with a different head coach, with Ime Udoka, with Nick Nurse, with any of these, with Frank Vogel, any of these legitimate established coaches in the NBA. Tell me that this incredible roster wouldn't be better off with someone who's done it before. Tell me why Joe Mazzulla is better than them. Or at least been on the sideline for it before. Sam yeah. Cassell.
We'll be happy to eat our words if we end up winning with
I welcome it. I welcome Mazzulla. It, but it's yeah. my greatest fear.
yeah, right.
I fear
right.
that more than Porzingis' lower body, and knock on wood, because he looks solid so far. Porzingis is a lot of fun to watch play basketball. And has played every game this season, mind you. Almost didn't because he had an eye injury one night, but still played that game. So, I don't know. Peyton Pritchard, man. Yikes.
Yeah, what happened there? Like,
he got paid. He complained. He wanted a trade. He got paid. And now he doesn't even shoot the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, but there was like, weren't we just talking last week or the week before about how he was actually playing well, and then now all of a sudden out of nowhere he's back to doing nothing?
He was solid.
Yeah,
I don't know if he was playing amazing.
No, I didn't. I said well. I mean, it's just I think that maybe it was just
he
because
was contributing.
We had the opportunity because we were winning games.
It was nice when he was going like 9-6, but now he's going like 2-6.
Yeah,
and that's like points and assists, and it's like, what is this?
I mean,
let's
maybe
get a true point guard. We're gonna play both our ball handlers starting. Let's get like a real true backup point guard. I don't know.
Maybe he needs some time. I don't know. But at this point, it's not looking too good, and that's a good amount of money for a guy who's not gonna play well.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's the alternative? Like you said, a trade or picking up someone else that's gonna fill that role. Or then what do you do with this? What do you do with him?
Yeah, I don't know. I still think we need a couple pieces, but we are deep. Everyone can play. Everyone can score. But shout out to Sam Hauser. Sam Hauser's doing some good work out there.
Shout out to not to be negative here, and this isn't me making a joke at all, but like shout out to Robert Williams because that sucks. Like I feel so bad for that guy. Like
successful surgery. I meant to look if it's the same knee that. The Celtics had half of his meniscus cut out of.
But season ending.
That would make me feel a lot worse. He's supposed to be ready to go at the start of next season. I think that's the best news because the guy's been through a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And you would think there might be some shade on his future as a whole. But the report is today that I saw in Lower Crawls watching, sports before we started recording here. The word is that he should be ready for the tip off of the 24-25 season. I hope that is the case. Got to wonder what kind of roster he'll be stepping onto with the Blazers next year. But the Blazers who added him and maybe thought that he was a guy that they could move at the deadline to get more assets and he could go help a playoff team since they do have Ayton, now with an immovable piece, I don't think anyone's going to take him after this. And it's going to be up to him to show that he's still an NBA player when he gets back from it. But we're Bob Bill fans for life here on the Balcony Chatter podcast. Yeah, it's upsetting what happened to him, and I hope he has a full recovery, and I hope he has a prolific NBA career.
So,
because so far he has been really, 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 really bitten by the injury bug constantly.
In your opinion, in this specific situation, is it worse if it's the same knee or better if it's the other knee?
I got to think it's worse. I mean, I don't know how knees
work
entirely.
Worse if it's the same or worse if it's the other?
Worse if it's the same to me. I just feel more guilty about it. And I know that we all had this conversation that he was on board and his team was on board. I just think that whole thing was really weird, how fast he came back. Obviously, it didn't pay off. And, if it was, I don't know how knees work exactly. I've partially torn my MCL before, but I got to imagine when you have less meniscus, there's less support in there. And that may have led way to, the ligament to be torn. I don't know. It's sad.
Were you playing at an elite NBA level when you partially tore your ACL?
I was in the upper echelon of Lime Scooter riders,
right,
in Los Angeles,
okay,
city when that happened.
You got a little
fancy with tricks.
You were semi-pro,
slick pavement. I was. I mean,
Depends on who you
pro. He's like a pro am.
Yeah.
Fucking zip on those things, dude.
I mean, I think that it's worse if it is if it's the other knee, because then that just means that he's got two bad knees at a pretty young age, and that I can't see him having a long career based on that.
Two pretty bad knees or one destroyed knee? I don't know.
It's all bad. How about that?
I was happy to see in the report that he's expected to be back next season.
Yeah.
I would have thought that might be more up in the air for quite a while.
Well, I mean, maybe I don't know, dude. The stuff that's happening now is insane to me. Like, not to get into football here, but the fact that Aaron Rodgers is potentially going to come back this season and he's already, like, you know, on the sidelines, throwing, walking normal, like, telling people he's going to be back soon. The guy ripped his Achilles, and he's...
Yeah, this was and, like 5 weeks here's the ago. Thing. And here's the thing. Again, I'm not a goddamn doctor, all right? I'm not going to be either, okay?
We'll
so
see
get
about
off,
that.
Off my back.
We'll see.
People who think of me. You get off my back, Andrew.
No, dude.
I'm not going to be a damn doctor.
I believe in you.
But I don't. I don't even want to. No, he didn't.
If
he's back on the football, if he's back on the football field this year, he didn't tear his Achilles.
Dude, look at it. Did you see the replay? You see that thing?
It's just
shoot back up his leg.
I subscribe to the cousin Sal thinking he's just like he's strained it. If that's what happened.
Oh, dude.
I tend to agree. Those things don't reconnect fast. Where's he? He's just standing on the sideline. Where's he getting this, like, crazy medicine on it? I don't know,
dude.
Go ahead and come back to the 5-12 Jets to have them finish third to last.
And ruin the rest of your career.
Go nuts. And ruin your next year.
Or potentially.
40-year-old man.
Yeah, the rest of your life where you walk, like,
all right,
terribly.
Well, when it comes out, whatever Joe Rogan pill was pushed upon him to make him heal this fast,
yeah,
I'm just going to start taking it on the regular.
Yeah.
Without anything. Like, who knows? If your Achilles can reconnect in 7 weeks on some goddamn snake oil medicine from Joe Rogan, then I'm just going to take it every day.
Yeah. For sure.
Every day. Just preemptively. I'll never get injured again.
I mean, you could be in the NFL by 40 at this rate.
I could hit a car head on a Lime scooter.
Yeah.
At 30 miles an hour, and the car is going to need to go to the hospital.
Exactly.
That's going to be hurt.
Yeah.
If I take these brain pills.
Jesus.
It's ridiculous. But I just shot up about Aaron Rodgers. There's no good quarterbacks in the NFL. We know it.
All right, dude. Sorry.
Talk about Josh Dobbs, hero. We won't, but you guys can. Stop talking about Aaron Rodgers. What's he coming back to? It's crap.
Jeez, I seem to have struck a nerve there. Did you have him on your fantasy team right away, and then he got hurt, or what?
No. I missed his career. I think I said it on this podcast. I missed his entire Jets career, or maybe I didn't, because he'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I flipped the game on with like 11:27, and he was already carted off. I didn't see a single play.
That's insane.
Of the four that there were.
Yeah.
Or three.
It was whatever. Electric, dude. But, it was so electric.
God, I'll regret it every day of my existence until I die. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think this. I saw the video. I don't know. Yeah, it's pissing me off that he's gonna come back.
I can tell.
He's the oldest man in the world. It's like if Brady did this
in
like,
the entire what? World.
He's the oldest man on planet Earth.
Yeah.
Well,
all right, then I won't talk too much more about it, but I'm excited for this week. Bruins game, Celtics games, like I said, maybe going to the Celtics Sixers game in Philly on Wednesday. So if anyone else
is there, whatever, dude.
Let me know. Whatever.
Yeah, it's all the sports.
You could fly out, I'll meet you there.
I haven't been doing enough games this year. I'm hurting. I haven't been to any NBA games yet.
It's still early.
I gotta go see James Harden take a giant shit in the crypt before he has to go play in Inglewood next year.
Dude, there's absolutely no way that he's going to do that next year. He will be on a new team.
I would pay as much as I pay for League Pass monthly to have once a week a Hard Knock style hour-long episode released from within the locker room of the Clippers. What a dog shit show. It's unbelievable how bad they are. Unbelievable that this is what they're doing. We have Russell Westbrook and James Harden back on the same team to accompany. Well, first of all, Harden swanton bombing right into there when Westbrook was actually playing well and they were doing well.
Yeah, he just went in there.
And now they are
0-5
since acquiring.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
The beard.
The beard, man.
I hope Kawhi gets out of there.
I think him and Paul George need to run away, but I do think that the entire fleet of Brinks trucks will be thrown at them, because if Steve Ballmer opens a brand new stadium without several superstars on his team and a seemingly competitive team, I mean, he's rich, he'll be fine, but he's going to lose every dollar of this investment.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what they were thinking.
I think it's a joke how much money that guy has.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we do, but it's the dumbest thought on planet Earth.
Yeah. Speaking of losing money really quickly, did you've seen, obviously, the Sphere in Las Vegas, right? Like, obviously, you haven't been there, but, like, you've seen it.
Oh, yeah.
Supposedly, they've recorded $100 million loss so far since opening. They've lost $100 million.
Electricity?
I don't something? Know, because apparently tickets to go to shows there it's like $700 or something insane, too. So I just don't know.
I've only seen that there was a U2 concert there.
U2?
And it looked full.
Yeah. I mean, they're doing like a residency there, I think.
Dude, how is that what are they, idiots?
Especially because I think that the advertising for the outside is like advertising alone a day or something like crazy.
It was yesterday for the entire game yesterday. It was the AT&T logo. It was like the blue and white lines as the Sphere.
Yeah.
It's only been open for what, 2 months?
Something like that. But so it's probably like, you know, it cost a couple billion to make or a billion or whatever it was, and it will make its money back over time. It's not going to make they probably did take a loss within the first 2 months, but if you look at it in 10 years, I don't think that they'll be in the negative with all the shows they'll do there, the advertising and things like that. Eventually it will make its money.
Who owns it?
That's a good question.
That's what I want to know, because if it starts making its money in 10 years, they won't even own it because they'll sell it for something stupid. That's like, it's such a Vegas thing to do and make, but I do think it's a genius idea, and I personally want to go.
I want to go. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
This says a 1 week campaign could cost $650,000. 1 day campaign will cost $450,000. So for advertising on there, $500,000 a day.
I don't think they're charging enough.
I don't really think so either. I mean, if you're willing to pay,
if AT&T paid under $500,000
for 1 day, that's nothing to them.
For Sunday night football,
right?
Where you're getting put on national TV 6 times. At minimum,
yeah.
You know, like they're showing the Vegas skyline a bunch and you can see it every time and it's going to get its own solo shot or shots. And you charge them under $500,000. I don't know. Again, I think we both agree this is going to be, I don't think the Sphere is going to implode and like go away. Like I do think this is a successful thing. It's interesting that it's lost that much money, but like also you can get it back a little faster. AT&T can afford paying $1 million for that.
I mean, how much does it cost to do a Super Bowl commercial? It's like something absurd, right? For
the spots alone are millions. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, I know it's not the same thing, but I would argue that it's on par with getting a lot of eyes on it, and it's a spectacle to see. You could see it from planes, like it's wild. But I don't know. I want to go. I definitely want to check. You know, at some point, I would love to see a show there. I'm not spending $700 to tell you that, but maybe when the hype dies down a little bit, and who knows? Who knows what it's going to look like in a year or 2 years, couple years? But I definitely would love to see a show there someday.
Hell yeah, me too. Let's start playing hockey there.
Yeah, that'd be sick. I think it holds some crazy amount of people too.
I think it's like a stadium size.
Yeah, it's like 15 or 20,000 or something.
It's right in the arena size.
Yeah,
three times the size of the barn.
It's wild.
Damn.
Yep.
All right, Celtics are back on track. Bruins are chugging along. I'm still overly pleased with this team.
Thing I like to think about with the Bruins is that they've only played one game this season so far where they haven't picked up points.
Yeah, it's incredible.
That's pretty damn good.
And kind of scary.
I was going to say reminiscent of last year. Obviously not the same team, but definitely scary. I'm not going to sit here and say I want to see losses, but you know,
I'm starting to think we've beat some decently good teams, though.
Absolutely, we have.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Let's keep it going.
Fun times. We were skeptical at the beginning of the season of what the Bruins might look like, and obviously we knew that the Celtics were going to be doing what they're doing so far and the potential that they have. So we were a little less worried about them. Obviously, we have our concerns.
When I think about what I thought best case scenario was for the Bruins 10 games into the season,
it wasn't this.
I think my ceiling was lower than what we are right now, for sure.
6-4?
I think 7.
Yeah.
7-3, I think, was my absolute ceiling for that.
Yeah.
And I would have been ecstatic about it.
Yeah.
And we did like 9-0-1 for the first 10. Ridiculous.
We have a lot of guys who are stepping up in positions that we really needed them to. Like JVR for $1 million has been unbelievable.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does not feel like he's, you know, feels like he's at the end of his prime, but not that his prime is over. And I would have thought his prime is over for sure.
Yeah. So yeah, it's exciting times. I'm happy with how both teams are doing. And I'm looking forward to really getting into the seasons are obviously in full swing now. We've said that a few times here, but we're far enough in that we know what to expect now, and it doesn't seem like either team is a fluke. So if they can keep up the paces that they're on, then obviously we have a lot of fun ahead of us, and we can look forward to the rest of the season and not be in a spot where we're like miserable every time we have to watch a game because we aren't expecting wins. So I'm glad that we're not in that type of position and that we have these two good teams to watch, and the sky is the limit at this point.
Absolutely. Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
But thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week with another episode. And like I said before, we are working on a couple cool things, so hopefully we can talk about that pretty soon here and fill you guys in.
Maybe some returning guests, maybe some new ones.
It is very possible.
Who knows? I'm 2-3 in the league, dude. I'm coming.
I squeezed out a win this week. I did lose the week before, so I'm not undefeated anymore, but I am I'm still trying to sit at the top here. Trying to make sure that I stay up there and get some more wins.
Don't get comfortable, pal.
Whoa, okay. That's creepy.
I'm coming for you. I'm coming for you.
Okay, all right. Stretched.